The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very, very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 206 countries in the world and every state in the United States. The station is licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and Sound Exchange, with partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is Shifley. Brooklyn Shifley has made a name for itself by delivering instantly catchy synth melodies and electric live performances across New York City. Their first full-length album, Paper Cranes, quickly exceeded a million listens. The band has opened for acts such as 21 Pilots, Night Rides, Plain White Tees, and Donna Missal. On TV, their music has been heard in the background of Teen Moms, Dash Dolls, Tiny House Nation, Bravo, True TV, and many more. Shifley knows how to have fun, whether it's on stage, in your living room, or in your headphones. Their recent releases, Rich Kids and Gimme, are the first of many new tracks to come this year. Alex Gaines is the band leader and writer behind the lyrics, with a life experience behind every song.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Alex from Shifley. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Sorontos. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome, my friend. So you guys have a pretty cool story, man. I mean, I'm reading your history here and Plain White Tees, 21 Pilots. Tell us a little bit about that. That's pretty cool stuff, man.
Yeah, well, the band, we've all been playing together in some form or another through childhood. So these are some of my best friends. And we didn't really start to take it super seriously until college. That's sort of when I got into songwriting. And when I'd come home on summer break and sort of just get the guys together and say, hey, can we jam out on this? And from there, Shifley formed. And then instantly we saw sort of across all our colleges, just people were getting more interested. And these opportunities we're just lucky to have fallen into.
That's great. So when did you guys all start playing? Did you start playing when you guys were really young? Grammar school, high school?
Yeah, we hadn't all played together, but I had played with each of them individually in different outlets, whether it was like metal bands or punk or covers. But it wasn't until sort of those summer breaks in college where we found our sound.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's quite an ordeal, right? It takes a little time to get that.
Totally.
So what instruments do you play yourself?
So I started on violin, actually, at a very young age. Okay. And then from there, migrated to bass guitar, actually. And our current bass guitarist he's a very talented guitarist. Somewhere along the way, we switched, and that's when it all clicked.
Okay. And who does your lead vocals? Is it you or is it someone else?
Yep, I'm the lead singer.
Okay. And how many members are in your band? Can you just tell us everyone's name just for the fans in the audience to know?
Yeah, so Brian is on drums. Sean is on bass, but he's also sort of really talented on the tech side, and he does a lot of our videos and audio and stuff. Alex on the keys, and then I'm Alex also on guitar and vocals.
Okay, Alex squared, right?
Yes.
All right. What was the first tune that you learned?
The first tune that we played together was called These Cold Eyes. It's very angsty for its time. it was definitely a different us back then. And we've since sort of ditched that song and have shifted our sound a bit. But we look back and every once in a while, one of us will break it out in practice and we'll all sort of fall into it.
Yeah. So Debbie, one of the listeners tonight is asking, who do you sound like?
I'd say we often get Killers a lot. We get Phoenix, sort of just rock led by synthesizer as our sound.
Yeah, that's cool. What's your fondest musical memory to date, Alex?
My fondest musical memory, it definitely had to be a concert with the guys. We would throw these huge hometown shows back when live concerts were a thing. it must have been one of those hometown shows. We have one every Christmas called Shiftmas. We'll often riff on our name in concerts. But probably the first Shiftmas was the most special concert for me, sort of just everybody from all walks of life coming and seeing the band for the first time.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this Shiftmas. How many people are there? Is this like a few hundred or how many? What's the crowd like?
We're talking, if we're lucky, sort of like between 100 and 200 people crammed into the small bar.
Yeah, so that's nice and intimate, though. And I'm sure by now you guys have a reputation there, right?
Yeah, we definitely have our regular spots in Brooklyn and Manhattan.
So you guys are from Brooklyn, from what I understand, correct?
We're from Long Island, but have sort of migrated 40 minutes west to the city.
Okay. And do you have a favorite venue that you like to play where people can catch you?
My favorite venue personally, and the guys might differ, but my favorite is this small place in Manhattan called Pianos, the Lower East Side. They were sort of the first ones to have us back when we lived in Long Island, the first city show. And ever since, they've always been kind to us. And we're really hoping, really rooting for them to make it through the pandemic.
Yeah. It works both ways, right? They were loyal to you and you guys are trying to be loyal to them too.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. The pandemic's definitely been tough on live shows and everybody is having a tough time.
Yeah. Especially venues in the city, just rent is so high.
Yeah.
And so many of these venues have been in business since like the 70s and 80s. It'd be a real shame if they went.
Yeah. Who do you guys have as a band? Who's your favorite band or musicians that you guys try to pattern yourself after?
It's interesting because the four of us have like drastically different tastes within rock, I'd say. I skew classic, I skew 60s and 70s. So my favorite bands are the Beach Boys, the Beatles, T-Rex, sort of that psychedelic rock phase, glam. If you were to ask our keyboardist, he definitely skews more electronic and rock. Our drummer, definitely heavier. And our bass player, like sort of Foo Fighters-y type rock. So we mix all of that together and we end up with what we have.
Okay. One of our other listeners, Dave, is asking how you guys got hooked up to open for like Plain White Tees or 21 Pilots.
I'd say it generally happens just from befriending venues. And if you go to a venue and you're just trying to be the sound guy's favorite band there, and you fall into good grace with these venues, when a big act comes through, they'll often return the favor.
That's great advice. Great advice. Okay. How often do you guys practice as a band?
It definitely varies. Obviously, now things are so different. But before the pandemic, we'd try to get together like once a week. And we sort of had these monthly spots that we sort of had residencies in, both in the city and in Long Island. So we were always practicing for something.
Yeah.
You know, now we'll quarantine, we'll get tested, we'll try to meet up once every month or two and just sort of play some new tunes that we've been holding out on.
Yeah, I hear you. When you think about your band, when you guys were gigging and you were doing live shows, how often were you guys gigging? Was it once a week, twice a week, or more often?
Generally like two or three times a month.
Okay.
It ends up being like once a week or so.
Yeah, okay.
And we all have day jobs, so it's sort of like you you try to bail from work a little bit early, you have your guitar with you, and you just like take the subway down one or two stops and go to the venue.
Yeah, no, I totally get it, my friend. It's you know, indie artists, I think people don't always understand that you got to have your second job and you got to try to pay the bills somehow, right?
Totally. Especially in rock, you know, like just the natural pop zeitgeist is sort of behind rap and electronic. We know our genre, if we're going to make it, we have to be creative.
Yeah. And you know, that's something that at heart, I'm kind of a rocker, even though I'll do some pop rock and some different stuff. So I feel really badly because I think rock is a underappreciated, misunderstood genre, and it's all about pop. Then it was hip hop, you know, EDM, and I feel like eventually the pendulum's going to swing back again. So that's just my personal feeling, but
yeah, that's our hope.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, to every culture, there's a counterculture. So there's always people who want to hear rock, especially in such a big city like New York.
Yeah. Well, and that gets into the Imagine Dragons and Nickelback, and some rockers kind of take slight with them and say that's not real rock. So I heard a couple months ago people were slamming Imagine Dragons, which, I mean, they've had some great songs, but they identify as rockers. So it's it's tough, man. It's tough. There's many different avenues within rock.
Yeah, totally. And Imagine Dragon, like, yeah, they have the rock. They're definitely skew pop too. I'd say we're not afraid to skew pop with certain tracks, just track to track. So I definitely hear them. I'd consider them rock. If they consider themselves rock, they have the guitars, I'll give it to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think, and again, just because you focus on melodies and harmonies and you make things catchy doesn't mean you're not rock. Yeah. How do you balance your week between your day job and between, you know, the music thing?
For me, it's like when I'm at work half the day, I'm just sort of like thinking about how I want to spend that night on the band, whether it's going to be on the business side or if I'm going to try to sneak in some recording. So during the day, very much planning what my band night is going to be like. And then during the night, just sort of staying up as long as I could grind out productive work. I wish it was more recording, but just sort of the way things are now, it's so much in the business and so much in the social media side, just to keep ourselves sort of afloat and relevant, especially with these new tracks.
Yeah, that's I guess that's a difference between indie artists and you know, the big boys. You have to do everything, and it takes time. It takes time to set up your distribution, social media. You know, you don't have managers, you don't have publishers, you don't have publicists.
Right.
I mean, it's all
which is sometimes good. I mean, when there's successes, it feels that much better, just to know that you did the whole thing, and it's authentic, you know, all the content, because you guys are we're the ones making the decisions.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of advantages to it. Tell us a little bit about how often you guys as a band, how often do you guys write, or do you just do all the writing yourself? How does that work?
I'd say I've gone through different phases of my songwriting life. Back in college when I was first starting, it was sort of a secluded process where I'd go away to school, come back home with songs, and we'd play those songs. But sort of, I feel like over time, and you may be able to relate, the process has to change in order to keep writing music that you think is good, you know? So while it started secluded, I then found that it was better to, or the product is better if I started to collab at certain aspects with the guys. And now I'm sort of in a phase, we're all sort of in a phase where we're all really excited to write together for the first time. And we all feel very confident in the music we're creating together. And it's becoming more of a band process than a me process.
I think that's great. And I think collaborating is a wonderful opportunity to stretch yourself, expand, try things you haven't necessarily tried. And it just helps stir the creativity even
totally.
More. How do you guys typically work? Is it melody first, drum groove, lyrics? How do you guys start?
It really depends. I sort of have these different banks of melodies and lyrical phrases and stuff, and they're all sort of just these like different broken pieces, and I feel like the spark comes from a life experience. So if something happens in life, and I simultaneously think of one of those melodies with one of those lyric lines, it all comes together like in 1 second. That said, there are definitely months where the songwriting is dry. And I think the longer I do this, the more comfortable I am with sort of these huge dry spells of no songs. I feel pretty confident that eventually one will come back. So I'll sometimes have very productive months of maybe 5 or 6 songs, and then maybe I'll go 3 months with no song. It's not the most reliable process, but it's my process, I guess.
Yeah, there's no problem with that. So we're going to hear your song here in about 2 minutes. Tell us a little bit about it. What inspired it? What do you want us to hear from it?
So Gimme is about selfishness. I'll often write songs that are self-critiques. And Gimme is sort of just how I feel like others must feel around me sometimes. I feel like I feel like many people can relate to the feeling of feeling selfish. Gimme is just sort of that idea spun out. It's about somebody who expects love given to him the way he wants it, and is surprised when it's not.
Okay, that's a cool concept.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, Alex, tell you what, let's take a listen to your song, and then we'll come back and talk a little more, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, everybody, check this out. Here we go. Alex, that was very cool, my friend. That was a cool song.
Thank you.
So, do you have any advice you've received that you think is the best career advice anyone's ever given you that you want to share with the audience?
The best career advice. I don't know if it's advice so much as I guess just in music, there's so many scammers out there and it's just important to really vet the people you work with. I think we've learned that the hard way, and I think many bands have. And it's something you may just learn with time, and you may have to get scammed a few times, but just be really being careful about the people who, it's so hard to earn money through music. Be very careful about who you give that money to.
So it's interesting you say that, because I like to ask every guest about scams. So can you tell us about a specific scam or a type of scam that you guys might have fallen for that's floating around New York City, so we can warn everybody?
On the music side?
On any side, yeah. Anything with related to music, sure.
On any side? I guess just like I was saying, just being really careful about giving money to people who aren't promising a very specific thing. If it's give someone money and then they'll push your music to X people with the hope that something happens, I mean, we steer clear from those types of opportunities.
Yeah, I think probably the biggest scam, right, involves transferring money over to somebody.
Totally.
Yeah. And it's a tough, tough thing, because as a musician, if somebody approaches you, or, you know, you get hooked up with someone and you think, oh, it's $50, $100, you think, you know, you might get Spotify streams or you might get something. It's really, really tough to do the right thing or to find the right connection, because we all know the big labels pay for promotion and it works. But us little guys don't know exactly where to put our money, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess building off of that, trust is almost as important as expertise to some extent. So if you have people around you who maybe they're not the most, they don't know everything, but they're just really excited to work with your music and to push your music and to manage you, it may be worth giving them a shot over someone who's expecting money without a promise. You know, we've had a lot of success just building this up with our friends. Of course, the four of us are friends, but our larger friend group, they're very talented in terms of art and marketing, and we've definitely relied on our friends a lot to get us to where we are.
Yeah, I think definitely if you can have someone you trust, friends, someone that really vibes with your music, I think that's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
All right, tell us your favorite 90s jam.
Favorite 90s jam. 90s for me, I don't know much music in the 90s. I have these really weird, like, large gaps.
How about the 80s?
The 80s? Some of the 80s Bowie stuff, I'd say, is my problem. I'd circulate to 80s Bowie.
Okay. Anything specific, or?
Is that Just Dance album? Is that?
Yeah.
Or Let's Dance? That's 80s, right?
Yeah.
Arrangement's sick on that one. The whole album.
Cool. Who do you think would win a fight between Spider-Man and Batman?
Ooh. I'd root for Spider-Man.
Okay. Why is that?
I don't know. I know Batman, he's like just, I know he's a buff guy in a power suit, but I feel like Spider-Man has the power running through his blood. You know, I feel like his lightning quick reflexes, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Spider-Man has the natural advantage. If Batman were out of the suit, he would definitely win, of course. Batman's a smart guy, though.
Okay.
I'll have to think on that one.
Do you have a favorite person on Twitter that you follow?
I try to stay off Twitter. I try to stay off of most social media outside the context of the band, I'd say.
Okay. Does the band have a favorite person that they follow?
We love following Bill Nye, the science guy.
Okay. Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
What was he on? I just saw him a couple months ago. Was he on The Masked Singer or The Masked Dancer or something like that? I think The Masked Singer, right?
Yeah,
wasn't he on there?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching him get unmasked. I was like, oh my God, Bill Nye the Science Guy. And a few people had guessed him, so that was kind of cool.
That's cool.
Tell you what, why don't you give us your contact information, where people can buy your music, stream it, anything you want to share with the fans out there?
Yeah, sure. So once again, the band's name is Shifley, Shiffley. You can find us at Shifley Music on all social medias. We're mainly on Instagram. And you can find our music on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever your preferred sources.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Any random thoughts in closing out the show here? Anything you want to say to your fans, any shout outs, anything that you want to talk about?
We just have a lot of exciting news to come. We have a lot of new music. We're really excited to share it with everybody, and just stay tuned.
Awesome. All right, Alex, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight, man.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So to all the fans out there, I really want to thank you guys for listening to the show. I know your time is precious, and thank you for sharing a little bit of it with me and Alex. If anyone out there wants to be on the Songwriter Show, please just reach out to me. Thank you all for listening. I hope your own unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show. And tonight, I'm going to share a song of mine, 60s, 70s rock, called Why Ask Why. I hope you guys enjoy it, and I hope you're asking why, and I'll see you guys next week. Have a great night, everyone.
Why ask why?
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.